Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chip Horton. With me in the studio today is our regular Monday host, Richard Rutledge, and also our good brother Albert Stein is with us to assist us in our broadcast with a reading or comment. We're certainly glad that all these guys are here, and we salute you this morning that our regular listeners. We're thankful for Miss Frida. As she listens to us out there on Highway 67, we appreciate Miss Ann, and we look for you in the chat box again, Miss Ann. So if you jump in there, we'll be glad to have your comments. I know my good wife is listening, and so love you, babe, and thanks for listening. I know Mom and Dad normally listen down there in Franklin, Tennessee, so we salute you this morning. Glad that you're on board. Jeff, if you're listening on the East Coast as you deliver groceries, and we're glad to have you, too. But we have a lot of listeners out there, and we're certainly glad that you are with us. And we certainly would urge you to get into the chat box. Richard has a chat box open over here, and he's ready to take your comments and add to our program. We can use your comments this morning, Richard. We've only got 15 verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, so we'll need some comments along the way for sure. As we get going this morning, what we normally do is we comment on the bulletin board items that we have going on around us and even far away. And so we'll jump right into that as we have opportunity. What's going on today?
Well, the gospel meeting is still going on over at the Oak Grove congregation there in Mount Pleasant. And this meeting will run through Thursday evening with Mike Vestal. And so the brethren over at the Oak Grove Church of Christ invite you to come and be a part of that. I know Sunday night we were able to go over there, mm-hmm. and when he spoke about the God we serve went to the cross, wasn't able to make it Monday or Tuesday. I was not feeling well, so I didn't make it over there. I'm looking forward maybe tomorrow night to be able to make it. But it's 7 p.m. tonight, and tomorrow it will continue. Tonight he's going to be dealing with the God we serve as a holy judge. Mm. Tomorrow night at 7, the God we serve is the great Father. Mm. So Mike has done a wonderful job with this, and you know, Mike Vestal is a preacher for the Westside congregation there in Midland, Texas, and he's been preaching many years. Mm. He actually, you know, was the preacher there at the Oak Grove congregation
30 years ago
mm-hmm. or so. So he gets to come back to that work and hold this meeting. So if you want more information, just give David a call, 903-285-1756 on that.
All right. And I talked to Mom and Dad last night, and they said that they got to go out and listen to David Sane on Monday night there in Nashville. And Robert Taylor, last night they got to listen to him at the Meade's Chapel Church of Christ there in Nashville as they're having their 11th Annual Restoration Revisited series. Started on Sunday in the normal, the normal worship time. And they said that they heard great swelling words about Ben Flatt and his ability as he addressed love, life, and peace that day. But they said that David did a great job Monday night on guidance, and that last night Brother Taylor absolutely knocked it out of the park as it dealt with strength. And they're looking forward tonight. They're going to go out there again tonight and listen to Mike Hickson as he speaks on freedom. So if you're in the Nashville area, we would encourage you to go out and be a part of the good work that's going on there at the Meade's Chapel Church of Christ as Mike Hickson finishes up their Restoration Revisited series there in Nashville at the Meade's Chapel Church of Christ.
Then the North Texas Family Summer Series for 2016 continues in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Why I Love Being a Christian is their theme this year, and tomorrow night they're going to be at the Colleyville Church of Christ and deal with the topic, I Love Having a Christian Family. Mm. What a great blessing that is, the brothers and sisters in Christ that we have all throughout this world, and it is a great blessing. Phil McIntosh will deal with the subject tonight, and then go ahead and mark your calendars for the following Thursday, August the 18th. I Love Working in the Kingdom of God. DJ Stuckey is going to be handling that at the Granberry Street congregation. So that's what you have. If you want more information, you can give them a call. You can actually reach Phil at 817-771-7417.
And also, this Friday, we have an opportunity, if you're in the Blanchard, Louisiana area, to go out for their gospel singing event that's taking place from 7 to 9. They're at the Blanchard Congregation location on Williams Street, if you're there. They've got a big, bold-faced announcement here that says, refreshments will follow. And boy, that's going to be needed after you sing for 2 hours. And so that'll be a great opportunity. If you want more information, they have left a phone number for you. So write this down. It's 318-929-2838.
And I would imagine that at least a few families from here will be heading over there, I know, in order to see Sean and, you know, Marley.
Marley, yeah.
But over that direction as well, at Bossier City on the 13th, Saturday the 13th, they're having a parenting workshop at the Carriage Oaks Congregation located at 5661 Shed Road there in Bossier City, Louisiana. It says, Surviving the Younger Years, a workshop and panel discussion for moms and dads or anyone who plans to become a mom or dad in the future. Mm-hmm. The topics discussed will be godly discipline and parenting with tips and strategies for training young children for worship. Guest speakers possessed many combined years of parenting wisdom. So it says this will kick off. It'll be from 2 to 4 p.m. All are welcome. Refreshments are served, and child care will be provided. They ask that you RSVP, if possible, at 318-741-3016, or more information, cochurchofchrist.org. C-O for Carriage Oaks there, so cochurchofchrist.org.
And then we're going to be wrapping up in this next week or so. We're going to be wrapping up the Summer Youth Series in Northeast Texas. And so this next Monday, Lord willing, we'll assemble over the North Jefferson congregation there in Mount Pleasant. That'll be the 15th at 7 o'clock. And we'll listen to a fantastic lesson on baptism, another one of those words that has been, muddied in the world today. A lot of misunderstanding about baptism, and I'm sure that we'll have a great opportunity that night to have the record set straight. And then Friday the 19th, we'll be wrapping it up here in the Mount Vernon congregation as we talk about another word that everybody wants to wear, but nobody wants to obey the doctrine of Christ, strangely. So we'll be talking about the name, the beautiful title of Christian. What is a Christian? What does a Christian do? How does he act? Things of that nature. And so we look forward to the 19th here in Mount Vernon. So the 15th at 7 o'clock at North Jefferson, and the 19th at 7 o'clock here at Mount Vernon. And that'll conclude the Summer Youth Series for the summer. And we're back to school on the 22nd.
And that's one of the reasons that we have a scheduling change on that. You know, all summer long, everyone's been used to going on Monday. Mm. We realized that there was a poor scheduling in the final one because it ended up being the first day of school for many of the kids around here. So we changed it over to Friday night that week. So we're going to double up that week. Hopefully it won't hinder too many, but it'll make it more available for some. So we're going to do it on Friday. So everyone out there listening, make sure you remind the folks, it's your congregation that we're going to be doing this on Friday instead of Monday.
Yeah, that's a good deal. All right. Well, that's our bulletin board for today, and we certainly remind you, if you're out there listening and you have an event that you'd like for us to announce for you, we certainly urge you to contact us at office@tgrn.org. If you have a programming note or something to help us with our daily Mornings for the Master program, you can contact us at mornings@tgrn.org. You can certainly call us on the 800 number. We're working that into our schedule even as we speak. That's 844-4-TGRN, spelled out, F-O-R-T-G-R-N. And we're looking forward to using that and incorporating that into our daily show so that we can take your calls and be live on the air. And so TGRN is growing and progressing, and that's just one more step, and we urge you to help us in that area. And if we can help you, just let us know how we can do that here at TGRN.
And if they're aware of something, they can always just put us in the chat box.
There you go.
So, you know, if we're right in the middle of the program and doing the bulletin board, shoot us to us even right then, and we'll do our very best to get that information out.
Yeah, that's happened a time or two. And so the chat box is a real real blessing. So tell others about TGRN. You know, if you have a good piece of pizza or a good piece of pie, you know, you're going to tell somebody about that. So same thing with the Gospel Radio Network. If you have the opportunity today, spread the word. Get the TGRN initials out there and get it around the world for us. We'd appreciate it. Well, we launch out into 2 Corinthians 9 today. We had a wonderful opportunity yesterday, Ryan and I, as we sat together, even with Albert here, and studied chapter 8. And certainly we understand the topic at hand is the giving, the collection that was taking place. And we continue that thought today. And we look at the preparation that's taking place for the Corinthian gift that's going to be collected even in the soon-to-come future of this writing. And so Paul is preparing their minds through this writing of his, even in the second letter. And so if you have your copy of God's Word with you, we would invite you to open to 2 Corinthians 9. And I guess a good way to start this morning, we'll jump out there and we'll all read the first five verses together then.
Okay. Now concerning their ministry to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know your willingness, which I boast of you to the Macedonians. And that, what's that word, brother?
And
Achaia.
Okay, was ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority. Yet I have sent the brethren, lest our boosting of you should be in vain in this respect, that as I said, you may be ready. Lest if some Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to mention you, should be ashamed of this confident boosting. Therefore, I thought it is necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you have previously promised, that it may be ready as matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation.
All right. So notice right off the bat as he jumps out there that this idea that this zeal and enthusiasm is contagious. I love that idea because, you know, when you're maybe you've been, you know, watching some of the Olympics and you see the crowd getting all fired up. Guess what that does? That affects those that are performing. And the same thing happens in our preaching. You know, when you're standing in a pulpit and you're preaching God's word and you see Bibles, you know, pages being turned and you know that people are intently following. When you hear the brethren calling out the amens, when you hear those types of things, even in your preaching, you know, that's contagious. And the same thing is true even as it relates to the giving process here. We see this boasting of the Corinthians, even in Macedonia. And so he says, you have provoked very many. And so we kind of reflect back into yesterday's comments, but we understand that there is a collection that's going to be taken up, and it's going to be a benefit to both the ones that are giving, ultimately, but it's going to be a benefit to those that are in need. And so we have an opportunity. You know, we pray for opportunities. We pray for God to open doors for us, and so we see that there is a great door open for the Corinthian brethren who are very well off, as it were. They are in they are not in economic decline, even as we see in Macedonia. We talked about the problem with the economy there yesterday. But the Corinthians are doing very well for themselves, and so they have an opportunity to give of their abundance. They have an opportunity to give of a willing and a pure heart. And you remember yesterday that we mentioned, Paul said, I advise you in this particular way. He didn't command them. It's like when a robber comes into your house and he says, give me all your gold. Well, you're probably going to give it to them so that you don't get killed, but you're not going to give it to them because you love them, you know, because you care for them.
You know, I think it pulls to mind Philippians 3:17 when he says, you know, brothers, join together in join in imitating me and keep let's go to King James right here. That didn't sound right. Brothers, be followers together of me and mark them which walk as you have us for an example. Mm. You know, this mark, and that's exactly what he's done. He's telling them here, you know, we tie this one back in. Remember, those chapter breaks, we got to remind ourselves. Right. Sometimes we dissect it down too much and we cut right into the middle of a context, and we did here with this chapter break.
Right.
Because chapter 8 ends with, so give proof before the churches of your love and our boasting about you to these men. Mm-hmm. We've been boasting to you, who? To the churches of Macedonia. Mm-hmm. And that's what he says here in verse number 2, that, you know, which I boast about you to the people of Macedonia. Mm-hmm. He used the church in Corinth as an example mm-hmm. for the brethren in the region of Macedonia. But then in chapter 8, he used the people in Macedonia
right.
for an example to the brethren in Corinth.
Right.
You know, because that's what he does. He says, these people, that's what we use it a lot more often, you know, chapter 8, right. Verses 1 through 5, of giving even beyond our means, as the Macedonians did, and that example that he used. But here he's also used these brethren, their readiness and preparedness. They said they were ready a year ago.
Yeah.
And ready to give and ready to help. And so that's, I think, is a thing for us to remember, is this congregation who we read about in in 1 Corinthians, who had so many problems, is an example of a congregation to others.
Yeah, and we use those things today. We use those same principles today. We'll talk about a congregation that's doing said work, and we might try to emulate that in some form or fashion. It may not be the same program or the same effort, but you know, if one congregation is reaching out and trying to show their love to the police officers or the first responders, you know, what harm would it be for another congregation to do the same thing? You know, try to show their love in the community. You know, we take examples of others. You know, hey, that was a great idea. Maybe we should try to have a lectureship, or maybe we should try to, you know. And so we use others as a great example. And so we're not commanded, you know, to help the police officers, you know, but look what we're doing. We're helping to spread love and cheer. We're showing our support. Lots of different ways we could address that. Think about Ananias and Sapphira. They were not commanded to sell the property, were they? Mm-mm. They saw what happened perhaps with Barnabas and maybe wanted a piece of that action, as it were, for not being too strong with our words there. But notice, even as you look back into chapter 5, you realize that they could have kept a portion of that. I mean, they could have just given just a portion, but you know the outcome of that. And so God wants us today to give in that same fashion. We'll talk a little bit more about that as the show progresses this morning. But notice the example. That's the first thing that we should see, the examples that are used from one congregation to the next to encourage others unto better and stronger works. And so it seems that even, maybe my opinion of this, it seems that a year ago they said, we're ready. But maybe that had waned just a bit over the period of time. And now he's encouraging them, all right, it's time to get back on the horse. It's time to not just say, but it's time to do, even as we talked about in chapter 8 yesterday. And so here's this powerful stimulus that is being set forth. And so he mentions this idea of sending Titus and these other two brethren we talked about yesterday. Didn't really mention it much about their identity because we don't know. We could certainly guess, you know, we say, well, we guess it might have been Luke, or we guess it might have been. But these other two brethren, you know, and that caused me to think this idea about two or three witnesses.
Yeah. You know? And you know, it could even be a couple of guys from Macedonia.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
Or from Philippi, because right. He says, you know, as Albert read a moment ago, he says when verse number 4, lest if some Macedonians come with me, they find you unprepared. It could have been, but he may have been waiting till later. I mean, this I like it into the idea because their zeal, you know, he had said that what their example had done, their zeal had stirred up the majority.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they used them, and they were going around telling brethren, hey, brethren in Corinth are ready. Mm-hmm. You know, they were saying they've done this a year ago.
Right.
But again, they had the great wealth that Macedonia didn't.
Right.
But anyhow, so they had theirs ready. But sometimes, you know, okay, we're ready. And then we get busy with other things and, oh, wait, we didn't have it ready on the day that he showed up.
Yeah.
You know, so he sends these guys ahead of time to say, hey, we're fixing to be there shortly. Make sure you're ready, because when the brethren show up, I've been telling everybody you're ready.
Yeah.
Let's make sure you're ready. So, you know, could it be? I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting, this idea of being ready, committing to that which you have promised. You know, when you sign on a dotted line, you need to keep your word, you know. And certainly I remembered yesterday we referenced a couple of verses, even from the Old Testament. Allow me to read for you a couple of these references in Numbers chapter 30. And verse number 2, it's recorded, if a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. Again, Deuteronomy 23 and verse 21, when thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it. For the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. And so there's many verses that, you know, kind of help us in our understanding that our yeas need to be yea, our nay need to be nay. We need to keep our promises. When we say that we're going to paint a house, then we need to paint a house. When we say that we're going to give to a particular cause, then we need to do that. You know, we what an embarrassment it would have been. If these Macedonians, if these three would have arrived in Corinth and they said, forgot all about that. That would have been an embarrassment after all that Paul said.
Or, you know, hey, something came up and we can't now.
Right.
It reminds me of Psalm 15:4, where it says, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. In other words, he said he was going to do something, but then now it's going to end up being a detriment even upon himself. You know, I told somebody I was going to do something, but I need to carry it out, even if it causes myself hardship.
Wow, yeah, it's something that you need to you know, if you and when we see it, especially, you know, when we're training our children up in the way that they should go, you know, when we say, well, daddy's going to be here and we're going to take you to the game, or mommy promises that she's going to do this, you know, when you continue to break those promises over and again, doesn't that just break the child's heart? You know, we need to continue to show children that we keep our promises. You know, God is faithful to keep his promises. I don't read of any place from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation, where God has ever failed to keep a promise. And so we need to try to emulate our God and our Father in keeping our promises and keeping our vows the same way that he keeps his. Notice in verse 5 the way he puts bounty up against covetousness. You know, they are polar opposites here. And so this gift of money that was being sent, that's the idea of that bounty that's mentioned there. But if, you know, if it is something that is forced upon you, then that's going to affect our motive, isn't it? And so when we have this rushed circumstance, we need $150, or hey, we need this amount of money, then it may certainly affect our motive and the reasoning behind what we are doing. And so, you know, we see a lot of that today in the world around us. You know, we have a treasury because we give as we've been prospered on the first day of the week. And so if someone's house is destroyed in a fire and they say, look, we're in great need of $1,800, And the church says, well, you know what? We've been laying by in store on the first day of the week for such a time as this in Galatians 6, 9, and 10. You know, we have that responsibility, that opportunity. And so, look, we don't have to have a bake sale. We don't have to have a car wash. We don't have to, you know, and fill in the blank there. All these things that pop up, we don't have to do that. And so that's why the churches of Christ never do those things. We're not involved in these things like you might even see on TV. You know, I'm certainly devastated from time to time when we see our brethren over at Duck Dynasty. You know, they'll jump out there and they'll do these horrible things that, you know, certainly would bring reproach upon us. They have these car washes and these bake sales and all these things. We know if we're doing what God has commanded us in the way of giving, we don't have to do all that stuff, right? That's a blessing that we have. And so this idea of being forced into giving, this idea of being the American Standard actually uses the word extortion instead of covetousness. I thought that was kind of interesting. You know, if thinking that they had to give, then maybe their motives would be impure. And so this first five verses has really opened up a wonderful thought process with us this morning, all about motivation, all about excitement and zeal, encouragement, and expectation. So there's a lot included in these first five verses. In verses 6 and 7, we kind of look at this idea of conditions of acceptable giving. And so let's read together verses 6 and 7.
But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Mm.
And these are verses that we use all the time because we love what God loves and we hate what God hates. You know, you go back to Proverbs 6, beginning at about verse 16, there's a list of things that God despises. Notice again, it's acts, it's sinfulness, it's not the man itself, you know. Like we read in the letters in Revelation, you know, the works of the Nicolaitans. You know, the Nicolaitans are a loved people because God created him in his own image. But it's these works. And so here's a work. Here is something that God absolutely loves. He absolutely loves a cheerful giver. And so here's this idea of urging them to give generously. And he shows that there is a blessing that will follow. Now, there's, in my understanding, Richard, there's people today that believe, well, if I give, you know, three-quarters of my check, then God's going to turn around and he's going to bless me with, you know, a Cadillac and a new house. And, you know, our financial prosperity is going to be based on what we, you know, isn't that something?
The health and wealth gospel.
Yeah, basically. Exactly.
You know, the idea that it does. God does bless us.
Yes.
You know, and he's going to even deal with this later. You know, God's the one who supplies the seed. He used the idea of sowing and reaping. He uses it even here. All of this that they have is from God, whether it's much or little, as the brethren in Macedonia. Mm-hmm. You know, that he said in verse 3, I bear them record, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. The widow who gave,
yeah,
the Jesus uses, okay, mm-hmm. You know, she gave all that she had. She, the widow's mite, M-I-T-E or M-I-G-H-T, is also demonstrated.
Yeah.
Her might is demonstrated in the fact that she gave all. But where did that come from that she had? It's the same gift that comes from God. Mm-hmm. James reminds us that every good and every perfect gift is from above.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every blessing that we have, great or small, is from God, and it's the fact that we don't trust in those things.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Paul reminds the brethren of in 1 Timothy chapter 6. You know, those who are rich with this world's goods, I think it's around verse 17, you know, he charged those who are rich with this world's good not to be high-minded or trust in the uncertainty of riches,
right,
but in the living God who mm-hmm. gives these things. So, you know, this idea here now, they are individuals who are sowing and giving back. And God does bless because he's the one who originally blessed. But the idea now that if I give X amount of dollars, it's, I'm not banking on the stock market.
Right.
You know.
Some sort of a guaranteed return.
Right. Yeah. You know, I don't necessarily, it may be the fact that God blessed me with that for one opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't need it again for that. You know,
yeah,
I mean.
True.
So to give sparingly is to be expected to reap sparingly, right?
Amen.
And to give bountifully is to reap bountifully. And certainly if you're following along with us in your copy of God's Word this morning, you see that reference right there, Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Paul has the opportunity to use these words again in his teaching. And so we understand that there is a sowing and a reaping. I'm thinking it was Hosea said they have sown to the wind and they have reaped the whirlwind, you know. What a horrible thing to have to read. But, you know, it is the case that, you know, we make our bed and we lie in it, you know.
Sure.
And if I'm going to sow sparingly, you know, really not trusting in God, I know what to expect. And if I, you know, and I'm thinking of one particular brother now that may very well be listening, and I know he is a generous, generous giver to the Lord. And, I know how the Lord has blessed him. You see it in his life. And so,
you know, I think about what Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 as well. Beginning there in verse 33, he said, "And if you do good to them which do good to you, what do you think you have? For sinners do also do even the same.
Hmm.
And if you lend to them whom you hope to receive, What think you have? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But then listen to what he says. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return."
Mm, true.
Okay? You know, and here's even the idea. I am giving. This giving is not to so that I can receive this from God. You know, if I'm to lend even to my enemies, hoping nothing in return, back to that wealth and health gospel idea,
mm-hmm.
You know, I'm even giving to God, not necessarily hoping to have anything but return, but even the only thing that I can hope for is, like the Macedonians, I want a part in this fellowship of the work.
There's
my return that I can help others.
You know, it's some of that mindset is seen during the holiday season. I'm going to give this gift to them because I know I'm going to get a good gift in return, you
right.
know. That's in stark opposition to something like Matthew 7:12. We do unto others, you know, as we would have them do unto us. We don't do unto others because we know that they're going to give us something grand in return. You know, this gift that's being given, they're not giving. We talked about this yesterday for a moment. They're not giving to the brethren, the poor brethren in Judea, knowing that, you know, in a day and time, those in Judea are going to turn around and give something back to them.
They will, though.
And they
will. But I'm not giving because what
it's
God—
It's not a motive.
Right. I'm not giving because of what God can give me. I'm giving because of what God has given me.
Mm.
Yeah, God has many blessings. I mean, it don't have to be money in return. God blessed me, like, with the wonderful brothers and sisters here. And, you know, that all the love they gave me and
new
stuff.
Family.
And God blessed me with the air I have outside and the sun and the rain and everything and this wonderful book, you know.
Right. Right. And his blessings are great. They're numerous and many. But with that, you know, I mean, why do we have what we have even in the material realm? Well,
yeah.
To take care of our families.
True.
But also to help others as well.
So what we're seeing here is a mindset that the Corinthians are encouraged to have. And you know what? He's writing to Christians. And so if you are a Christian, guess what? This applies to you too. We have to have this mindset within us to give liberally, right? And to give in such a manner that's referred to here as cheerful. You know, you're looking forward to the opportunity, you know, that is Sunday morning. It's something that you prepare ahead of time. You know, at times I'm troubled, you know, in my own mind when I see people rushing in at the last minute and writing a check, you know, during the sermon or something. It's like, oh, I forgot, you know. Doesn't necessarily mean that they didn't purpose, you know. Maybe they did forget. But, you know, if we are purposing in our heart, that's something that's going to be done aforetime. And how do you know that? Because I see that in Daniel. You know, because later when Daniel got into captivity, guess what? He had already made up his mind. He had already purposed his heart that he wasn't going to defile himself. Ezra had prepared his heart. And so if we prepare our minds, we prepare our hearts, notice what he says here, so let him give. Now, that's obviously been added for our understanding by the translators, but as we purpose in our heart, give that way. And so if you purpose in your heart to give sparingly, what can you expect to receive sparingly?
And again, we know that they had purposed because they were ready a year ago.
Yeah, a year ago.
You know, that is the idea of preparing, not just 5 minutes ahead, but, you know, beforehand. They already knew what they were giving.
Yeah.
And this sowing and reaping reminds me, and you already mentioned a moment ago, Galatians chapter 6, but if we back up to verse 7, he says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Mm. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. If he sows to the his flesh, he will of the flesh reap corruption. But if he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those of the household of faith. And so, you know, that he uses it again to the churches of Galatia, this idea of sowing and reaping and helping.
Mm, absolutely. And, you know, maybe referencing something along the lines of Ephesians 4 and verse 28, you know, you work with your hands. Why? So that you can help somebody else, right? And so the reason that we have a job, the reason that, you know, we are blessed with this good health and this opportunity to prosper, it's certainly a benefit to me and my family, but you know what? It's for the benefit of somebody else. You know, we have a great opportunity in this life. You know, this mindset that we have to have, again, it's something that's skewed today. You still hear words being bounced around in the world today, like tithing. Tithing is an Old Testament principle, you know, this 10% idea. And so today we have been blessed with the ability to give as we've been prospered. We have an ability to give of our abundance, you know. And so I've preached it on occasion, and maybe others have too. If we're under a better covenant with better promises, with a better mediator and all these things that you see over and over in the book of Hebrews, better, couldn't we start at 11% and move forward? If we're better and the old system was 10, it seems like I should at least start at 11. I mean, that's the sparingly side, but
one brother put it this way. He said, give till it hurts and then keep on giving till it feels better.
Till it feels better.
You know,
I like that.
You know, and so that idea, it is, you know, and it is a sacrifice. Mm-hmm. It is to be a sacrificial gift.
Right.
And it is a first fruits gift.
Right.
Remembering those Old Testament principles that we see over and again about giving back to God. Mm-hmm. You know, the principles of first fruits, the principles of sacrifice. Even, you know, I will not give anything to the Lord that costs me nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, when the threshing floor was offered as that. He said, I'm going to pay for it. You know, and so this idea that it's sacrificial in nature as well.
Mm-hmm.
So what is Jubilee? I mean, I always hear about Jubilee. You know, my uncle, he said, I'm going to be blessed because I get money to Jubilee, and then they're going to give it back to me, and I'm going to buy a skyscraper in the Texas Stadium. And,
yeah, that's,
you know,
that whole
Cowboys,
you know,
all that
maybe
stuff.
Some of that whole wealth and health gospel that people are trying to take. And,
yeah,
you know, in other words, like the TV evangelist promise, you know, hey, give me your money and God's going to fill your bank account.
Again, that gets back to the Old Testament.
Right.
You know.
I mean, the year of Jubilee was a year of release, though.
Yeah.
You know, that was what that refers to, is during the year of release. But you know, that has really no play in New Testament giving or even the things that God has brought forward to us.
That's the way a lot of the denominational world is, though. You know, yeah. They'll have all these things incorporated into their worship and to their praise, as it were, that comes out of the Old Testament. And, you know, we have to be able to identify those things. Even like I just mentioned, tithing. People still today talk about tithing. Well, I tithe to my church. I tithe, you know. And, well, God bless you for giving, you know, something, you know, and considering that, you know, it's a principle that's found within the Bible. But what you're speaking about specifically is something from the Old Testament.
And a lot of times, though, people continue to keep the vernacular that they grew up with.
Yeah.
You know, they'll use that term as giving.
Yeah. We know what they mean.
And they're not talking about 10% even.
Right.
You know,
right.
They're just talking about. They don't understand what it is, an Old Testament word. It just becomes common vernacular.
Yeah.
Sometimes people use the word pastor,
right?
You know, in that same word, and they don't understand what the Bible means about pastor, and right. All they're saying, you're a preacher.
Yeah.
You know, they're using it in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why we always try to encourage people to use Bible, you know, terms, call Bible things and Bible ways, and address them that way. But there are times when we have to define our terms with people
mm-hmm.
because we're not communicating to one another because we're using terms with different meanings. They're using it from a common vernacular of the people, and we're using it in the way that the Bible uses it.
Mm. And so this is why our Summer Youth Series has been so productive.
Right, and that's why we talk about reclaiming heaven's vocabulary.
Yep.
Use the word in the way that the Bible uses the word, not in the way that man has redefined the word.
Mm-hmm. And so what we're finding here, as we mentioned in verses 6 and 7, is a mindset, it's a way, it's an acceptable way that God looks for us to give. It's not grudgingly, it's not out of necessity. It's not like, as we mentioned, you know, a robber breaking in and give me. You know, when the plate passes by you, is it the idea that you're cheerful, that you're happy to give? Is it something that you're proud of, even that you have the opportunity to do before God? You know, this giving, it's a logical process. It's something that we have to sit down and consider with our spouse, with our family situation. And then we pray about it, and we make this offering to God, this sacrifice, as it were. And it has to be out of logical reasoning. You know, if we are basing our religion on emotion, guess what, Rich? We're gonna have the opportunity to mess up. You know, if we're basing our giving on emotionalism, you know, one week we may give too much, you know, and we'll take food out of the baby's mouth. Or if we're sad or if we feel that God has, you know, caused harm in our lives this week or something ridiculous, we may not give enough, you know. And so it has to be from a sensible reasoning. That same idea that Isaiah uses in Isaiah 1:18, come let us reason together. And so here's this mindset that's introduced to us and that we are to live by in verses 6 and 7, the way that is acceptable to give before God. And then as we finish the chapter in verses 8 to 15, really I think what we see this thread of benefits of this acceptable giving that we have the opportunity to do. So let's read together verses 8 through 15 as we finish up this morning.
And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always have an all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundancy for every good work. As it is written, he is the spirit abroad, he is given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower, the bread for food, supply the multiple the seed to you, have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for the liberty which caused thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abundant through many thanksgivings to God, while through the proof of the ministry, the glorified God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks to be God for his indescribable gift.
Amen. What a good way to end that thought. The first thing that I saw as I started reading it, God is able to make all grace abound towards you. God is great. God is amazing. God is powerful. He's all-powerful. And I would encourage you, I know we're kind of running short on time this morning, so if you're taking notes with us this morning, if you're listening on TGRN, notice some of these references that are in your center column, perhaps. And if not, then write them in your center column. Colossians 1 and verse number 10, talking about every good work. The same thing that we see in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 21. We're to be ready unto every good work. The same words that are mentioned in Titus 3 and verse 1, every good work, and Hebrews 13 and verse 21. What a beautiful blessing it is that you and I can be a part of God's good work. We are His instruments for carrying out that good work upon the face of the earth. You know, you look at verses like Acts 10 and verse number 38, I believe it is, that Jesus went everywhere doing good. And so we want to be like Jesus, don't we?
Yeah. You know, this God is able, Ephesians 3, 20 and 21 as well.
Mm.
You know, to him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that works in us.
Awesome.
Who can do above and beyond. You know, I just, when I think about that, he's able to do above what we can even ask or think.
Yeah.
He's more powerful than we can even imagine. God is able.
Yeah, that's an amazing thing. You know, you see this just in something as basic as farming. As you look at Luke 8 and you see the soils that are mentioned and the seed is being sown, you kind of think about 1 Corinthians 3 about verse 6, where the Bible says that Paul says, I have planted, that is, and Apollos has watered, but who is able to give the increase? Well, he says there that God gives the increase. And so as the farmer puts a seed into the ground, guess what? God brings forth the bounty. You know, that harvest that comes forth, that is a principle that you read about even as early on as the Genesis creation record. God set this law into motion, and so he is faithful to keep his promises, even spiritually. And so we look at this opportunity to give and the kingdom be prospered, and fruit is going to be abounding on our part. And so we live by this law of God, this principle that has been put into place by God so very long ago. And we preach it all the time. You know, what are we doing as we are planting and sowing, but we are laying up treasures for ourselves in heaven, not on earth, as Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount from about Matthew 6:19 and forward. And so we have to develop this spirit of sacrifice within ourselves because there is a benefit that follows, and we have said it in a bumper sticker fashion so many times, but the benefits are out of this world. You know, the heavenly rewards are amazing. You know, you look back to Philippians 4, beginning at verse 15. He says, "You Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even at Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desired a gift." Look at this. "But I desire fruit that may abound to your account." We are fruit bearers, right?
There's something else about this is when you look at the verse number 10, you know, notice what God does. You know, he supplies and he increases. He multiplies here. You know, he multiplies the seed. He supplies the seed. He increases the fruit. But we've got to do the work.
That's right.
We've got to do the sowing. He supplies the materials. And even with that, you know, the idea of it, it's not anything we did. I always think about this. You remember Henny Penny? You know, she planted it. No, she planted it and, you know, She goes, who's going to help me sow the seed? And nobody helped. And who's going to help me, you know, harvest? Nobody's going to help. And who's going to help me bake? And nobody's going to help. But everybody wants to eat.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and she's like, no, you're not. Well, even with that, even if we're that type of individual, we're the only ones out there sowing, we're the only ones out there reaping, we're the only ones doing this, we still can't brag about it. Why? Because look at this. Who supplied the seed?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't do it yourself.
That's right.
And that's what he's even talking about here with their monies. You know, they have sown with this, mm-hmm. their generosity and these things. But who supplied the seed? Who gave you that mm-hmm. ability? God did. And, yeah, it's going to be fruits of your righteousness. And, yeah, people are going to be able to see it. But God's going to get the glory, verse 13, just like Jesus said in Matthew 6. Mm. Let men, you know, or Matthew 5, rather, verse 16. You know, let your works be seen. They're going to be seen, but God's going to get the glory.
That's right. What a beautiful thought. And as you see back in verse 9 and 10, guess what we see here? Paul, again, references Scripture. Over and again, we see that. And so he looks back into verses. Maybe you see it there in your center column as you're studying with us, Psalm 112 and verse 9 and Proverbs 19 and verse 17. Continuing to look back into Scripture as he builds his case here. And so we have this idea of benefits that will follow. You know, we have this beautiful ability to give as we have been prospered and understanding that there is a great benefit that follows. And so this great gift, remember this welding that we talked about yesterday, even between a Jewish culture and a Gentile culture. Notice that we're all one in Jesus Christ now, even as we see in so many places in Paul's writings, but we have been made one. The middle wall of partition has been broken down. And so notice the thought process between what was once a Gentile people and a Jewish people that are now made one. Notice this thankfulness that is a benefit because of what is going to be given even to the poor brethren in Judea. They're going to be thankful, and the people in Corinth are going to have the opportunity to be thankful because God has blessed them with the ability to give back, even in a purposeful way as this is.
Chip, you mentioned that welding together of two,
mm-hmm.
you know, this breaking down of the division. We see that early on, even in the Gentile brethren from Acts chapter 11 there at Antioch, when the brethren, you know, the Christians or the disciples were first called Christians there at Antioch, but these, mm-hmm. You know, Gentile brethren, you know, people that are seen in this area.
Mm-hmm.
And what do they do? Well, chapter 11, verse 29, after hearing about this hardship that was happening there at Jerusalem, then the disciples, every man according to his ability, mm-hmm. determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, to their Jewish counterpart brethren.
Brethren, that's right. And so what a magnificent way to end here. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Now, you know, a lot could be said about that, but remember what we're talking about in the context here. We're not necessarily talking about Jesus hanging on the cross. We're not necessarily about God giving his son. Specifically, we're talking about the ability to give and God's wisdom in the church being expressed here, in my opinion, if I'm not too far off that. I think that's where we're at here. And so thanks be to God. You know, the thanksgiving is the power of the gospel, you know, to save men's souls and what? To change people's lives, you know, to make people giving and thankful and loving. And so thanks be to God, certainly for his son, certainly for the church, but for the gospel that changes people's lives. What a beautiful thing to consider. So we have this wonderful ending to a passage that began encouraging the Corinthians to be ready. And certainly I know that they were ready, and they had the opportunity, and they took advantage of it. And so thanks be to God for the ability for us, even this Lord's Day, to be able to give back as we have been prospered.
You know, verse 13 also brings home the point that it was proof of their obedience to the gospel.
Ooh, yeah.
You know, he says, you know, that while through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, reminding me even of what James would say, by my works you will see my faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I am faithful, I'm going to have works. They're going to be a byproduct of my faith, and a byproduct of my obedience to the gospel is this, the liberality to those others in need,
right.
You know, helping others as well. That's what Jesus did. He went about doing good to all. And as we have the opportunity, we do as well. 1 John 3, you know, 16 to 18, that ability, when we have it, have the ability, have an opportunity, we have a responsibility.
Right. And so what a tremendous blessing has been for us today to talk about the ability to give. And so, again, we commented on that yesterday and certainly again today, but this is a blessing that God has provided for us. And so thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. We're glad that you were with us today. Hope that our study was beneficial to you. I know it was us here in the studio. And so as you go about your mornings for the Master today, we certainly thank you for being with us, and we look forward to our next opportunity. Keep listening today. Lots of good programming coming your way. We love each one of you, and we'll see you soon.
Been listening to Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. Remember to join us each weekday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, or catch the replay at 9 p.m. Central Time. You can also contact us at mornings@tgrn.org if you have any questions we can help you with, or if you have events you would like to submit to our bulletin board, or just with general feedback about the program or network. We would love to hear from you. As we've had opportunity to spend time with the Master this morning in His Word, let's remember His words in Luke 6:46, when He said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" He goes on to say in verse 47 and 48, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show to you whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." Let's show the wisdom of that builder and go now to live for the Master.